Hi, I'm Kate Boyle, and welcome to the Mind Movement Health podcast. Each week, I'll be bringing you health information from diet and lifestyle to movement and nutrition. My aim is to bring you bite-sized pieces of information that you can instigate into your everyday life to change your health. Hi everyone, and welcome back to the Mind Movement Health podcast. I'm your host, Kate Boyle, and before we dive into this week's episode, I have a small favour to ask. If you've been listening and enjoying the podcast but haven't yet subscribed, please hit the subscribe button now on your podcast app. This helps tell everybody else that this is a great podcast to listen to and helps us secure bigger and more exciting guests on the show. Okay, so this week on the podcast, we're talking about easy ways to reduce sugar intake. Nowadays, sugar has crept into so many foods in our diet, from things like mueslis and muesli bars and snack foods, right through to stir fry and curry sauces. It doesn't matter, you know, sort of what area of the supermarket you're shopping in. If the food has been processed, then we always need to look over at the ingredient list and check out the sugar content. Even when we think there couldn't be sugar in these foods, there often is, and it's hidden. In, you know, with over 200 names for sugar, it may be written as glucose, sucrose, maltodextrin, you know, lots of different names. So knowing about sugar and having and reading the nutritional panel to see what it's in can be really powerful to help you lower the sugar in your diet. And, you know, going back to basics, cooking at home, using whole ingredient foods. So shopping the outside of the supermarket where we have our fruit and veg and dairy and meat, you know, these foods are whole foods that don't have nutritional lists because they really just are a whole food, you know, had minimal processing and is in its true form. So sticking to those types of foods can be really helpful when we're cutting back our sugar content. One of my clients recently, she has gone on an elimination diet and she is very surprised at how much sugar is in food and also how many different foods have sugar in it. Even things, you know, talking about vegetables. Vegetables do contain carbohydrate, which in its purest form is sugar. And some vegetables have a slightly higher sugar content or carbohydrate content than other fruits and vegetables. So even being aware of that can be beneficial when you're opting to choose your foods. Now, keeping it simple and just doing it one step at a time, one of the sort of really simple areas that we can look at to cut back our sugar intake is with the drinks that we consume. So soft drink, energy drinks, things like iced tea, iced chocolates, you know, iced coffees, all these drinks have high sugar contents. So if we can just cut back on them, or even better, eliminate them from the diet, then we're going to be much better off just in our overall health. You may find it helps you lose weight if you have any weight to lose. I had a client recently that just cut out soft drinks and, you know, in a couple of weeks she lost 2 kilos. And she said the only difference that I've made is she cut out soft drinks and she cut out the sugar in her coffee and tea. So, you know, again, if you're adding sugar to your coffee and tea, just being really mindful how much you're adding and where possible cutting that out, because, you know, it creeps in without us realizing it. Even if you have 1 teaspoon, you know, in your coffee and you have a couple of coffees a day, it adds up really quickly. So going sugar-free, you know, where possible. And, you know, there's often this debate about whether sugar-free drinks that use artificial sweeteners are healthier than, you know, drinks that just have sugar in them. It's really hard to say, you know, some of these artificial sweeteners have been linked back to cancer, okay, a neurological condition, so that's something to keep in mind. But if your sugar content is too high, then that's linked to obesity, diabetes, cardiovascular disease. So neither of them are fantastic, you know, having these sorts of drinks in moderation. But generally, if you can cut back on the sugar, you know, if your doctor has told you that you're at risk of diabetes, then, and you're really, you know, wanting your soft drink, then I would look to change to that sugar-free version of the drink, and then start to wean yourself off that slowly over time. If you have, you know, two soft drinks a day, cutting one out and replacing it with water instead, and gradually cutting out to none, and just having a soft drink, you know, occasionally, you know, when you're out at an event or a get together, but not as a regular everyday drink. Now, the second thing that we can do is look to eat a whole food diet and really cut back on the processed foods. So, as I just said before, our whole foods are our veggies and fruit, meat and fish, you know, complex grains like quinoa and barley, nuts and seeds, yogurt and dairy, and then legumes and beans. So, going back to these whole foods that don't need that ingredient list is a really great way to cut back on sugar. So if you're buying any boxes or jars of food, always turn it over, read the back. Our sugar content, we really always want it to be below 10%. So less than 10% of the food should be sugar, unless, you know, if you're picking up a cake or a donut or a bar of chocolate, it's always going to be higher than that. And that's different because, you know, you're just having that occasionally. We're thinking about that 80-20 rule of, you know, 80% of the time, we're really sticking to those healthier whole foods. 20% of the time, we're, you know, enjoying and indulging in some of those, you know, maybe sweeter or salty, more processed style foods. So when we're, you know, trying to look at that 80%, when we're looking at that healthy food, turn the packet over, read the back, you know, make sure that it has less than 10% of sugar. This goes for things like pasta sauces and stir-fry sauces and cereals and muesli bars. So some of these products we think are, you know, inverted commas, are healthy foods. But if we're looking at the sugar content, it can actually be quite high and it's no longer a healthy food. So using that just as your sort of basis, and then also what you can look at too is see where sugar is listed in the ingredient list. So the ingredient list is in the order from the highest amount of the ingredient in the product down to the lowest amount. So if you picked up a box of cereal and the first ingredient was oats, that means it has the highest amount of oats in that product. So it might be, say, 80% oats. If the second ingredient is sugar at 15%, then the next highest ingredient is sugar. And, you know, it means the other 5% that's left in that food is probably going to be a mixture of different additives and some fruit and whatever else in this cereal. So always turn it over. If sugar is in the first five of the list of ingredients, then you know it's going to have a slightly higher sugar content and be one of the main ingredients in the food. So be aware of that, you know, choose your foods wisely. But Jeff, definitely just getting familiar with how to read that nutritional label can be really helpful when we're trying to find out how much sugar is in foods. My next tip is to cut back on sweets. So things like cakes and biscuits and cookies and muesli bars. See if you can make some swaps for these for a piece of fruit or some veggie sticks and hummus. You know, look for easy swaps. Maybe instead of reaching for that donut, you could have a boiled egg. Or instead of reaching for a couple of biscuits, you could have some Greek yogurt with some crushed hazelnuts and a handful of berries. So there's lots of other options for snacks that can be a lot lower in sugar rather than reaching for those sugary foods that will push our blood sugar levels up and we'll feel great and happy and energetic for a short period of time. And then our sugar levels will come crashing down and we'll tend to feel moody and tired, you know, and a bit grumpy. So really trying to pick those stabilizing foods for our blood sugar. And those stabilizing foods will usually have a combination of good fats, protein and carbohydrates. So they've got a good mix. So that Greek yogurt analogy I just said is a good example of that. We've got our Greek yogurt that's got good fats in it. We've got our berries, which is going to give us some carbohydrates. And we've got our hazelnuts, which is going to give us some proteins and good fats and carbs. So we've got that lovely mix of those macronutrients that are going to help to stabilize our blood sugar levels more. Hi everyone, I'm interrupting this podcast to let you know that we're kicking off Lean 14 Live on Monday the 29th of April. If you have been wanting to lose weight but really struggling, if you need some help just getting started or getting back into your health and fitness and creating some habits and routines that are really fundamental and that are going to help you get results, then come and join our Lean 14 Live. For all the info, head on over to the podcast show notes or shoot me a DM if you want further details. This is going to be a fantastic 2 weeks where you get to focus on yourself, on your health and movement, and I'm going to be there every step of the way, cheering you on and offering you support and guidance. So head on over to the show notes now and check out Lean 14. I can't wait to see you inside this group. And then moving on, we want to see if we can look at what we season our food with. This is another area where there are often hidden sugars. So many commercial salad dressings are high in sugar with up to 10 grams per serving, but they have no fiber and they generally have very poor or little nutritional quality to them. So they're really, you know, high in sugar so that we get that really palatable sort of mouthfeel and, you know, drizzle that over your salad and it's going to make anything taste good because it's sugar. So if we can swap out some of those salad dressings for, you know, fresh herbs and spices, we can get some really great flavors going, but we're going to get more nutritional quality and a lot less or no sugar. So, you know, some of your spices, you might use things like paprika and cumin and that to just flavor your meals when you're cooking. And then to finish off salads, you might chop up some mint leaves or basil or thyme. There are some really lovely herbs out there that can give you a really great flavor punch and have zero sugar. So the next time you're throwing together a salad, see if you can give those salad dressings the flick and opt for some herbs or spices, or look to make your own. You can make a really simple salad dressing with just some olive oil, a squeeze of lemon, and, you know, a good add of salt and pepper. So really simple, healthy, no sugars in sight, and the fat or the olive oil will help you absorb more nutrients from those fruits and veggies that may be in your salad, because especially if there's any fat-soluble vitamins, so A, D, E, and K in those foods, then they're going to be more easily absorbed when we've got a fat to help absorb. Moving on. So the next time we're thinking about breakfast, often we think that we're going to have a sweet breakfast. So things like cereal and pancakes, you know, these sort of sweeter foods, waffles, Pop-Tarts, if you're so inclined to have them. But so many of our breakfast foods over the years have become sweet and also very high in sugar. So if we can flip that and rather than having a sweet breakfast, opt for a savory breakfast instead, then we can definitely cut back on our sugar intake. And this is one question that often comes through is if I want a savory breakfast, what are some ideas that I could have? So eggs are fantastic. Definitely lean into eggs if you're able to eat them at breakfast, you know, poached egg, scrambled egg. You can eat it with some lovely avocado, a slice of multigrain or sourdough toast, you know, grill up some mushrooms and tomato. You can make an omelet. You can have a piece of frittata. So, you know, eggs are a fantastic way to get some really great protein, get your choline, and then, you know, incorporating it with some good fats and carbohydrates from your veggies, and you've got a really balanced meal. On top of that, you know, you can make lots of different types of foods for breakfast. It's just we're so used to having certain foods at breakfast that we wouldn't eat a dinner style meal at breakfast. But If you, for dinner the night before, made, you know, a casserole with some veg and you feel like having that for breakfast the next morning, that's actually going to be a really balanced meal to start your day because you've got a great mix of protein, fats, and carbs. So don't be afraid to experiment with your breakfast. You can make savory pancakes, you know, with spinach and that added into them. Again, you can put some avocado and tomatoes and grilled mushrooms on top. So there are options for savory breakfasts. It's just about experimenting and seeing what suits your palate, okay, and then changing it just slightly over time. If you are wanting to stick with more of that sweeter style breakfast, then leaning into, you know, oats and muesli, but making sure that those mueslis are not made with canola oil, so steering clear of those seed oils and making sure that they're lower in sugar. So again, turning over the back of that packet, seeing where sugar is on that list, or making your own. So I'll link this up in the show notes, but I have a fantastic recipe for homemade muesli that's fruit-free. So again, low in sugar, but it's got sunflower seeds, pumpkin seeds, sesame seeds, you know, walnuts, almonds, and oats. So lots of these fantastic good fats, okay? Really great mixture of protein and carbs. You can add it with some Greek yogurt and some berries to really make that complete meal. And you're getting so many nutrients, omega-3 fats from chia seeds, you know, just to really boost up your nutritional content and your fiber content. So if you're having one of these sort of fruit-free mueslis for breakfast that's lower in sugar, you know, you're going to be fuller for longer because of that higher fiber content. Another thing we can do is we can start with a veggie appetizer before our main meal. So if you can start your meal with a veggie appetizer, we know that we're going to get higher fiber intake and higher nutritional quality because of those veggies that we're starting with. You're also going to fill yourself up a little bit more before you move to the main course. So then you're going to eat the main course and most likely feel full so that you don't have enough room for dessert and therefore probably won't want it anyway because you're more full. So an easy way that we can cut back on sugar is by skipping the dessert, by making sure we've got really great balanced meals. Again, coming back to that protein, fat, and carbohydrate, making sure that we're eating enough. And if we start our meal with some veggies, then we're going to get that fiber and it signals to the gut already that, you know, we're getting that fiber and it's going to stabilize our blood sugar levels. That means no blood sugar crashes, you know, afternoon slumps or any of that. We're just going to have a really great nourishing meal that helps us feel full. And so we won't have as many of those cravings to reach for the sugar. And then finally, you know, if you do finish your meal and you do want something sweet, you know, or something for dessert, then there are definitely healthier choices that you can make that are lower in sugar than some of the other choices out there. So, you know, with chocolate, we can swap milk chocolate for dark chocolate. Dark chocolate, you know, if you're going to eat dark chocolate, try to opt for at least 70%, you know, of that dark chocolate. So you're going to get more of the antioxidants. We're going to get a lower sugar intake and some more of those lovely, you know, high nutritional properties. If we are feeling like maybe we want a cake or a cookie, could we swap that for some chopped up fruit and maybe do some fruit and yogurt and get our sweet hit, that sugar hit through the fruit and yogurt rather than from a cake or a cookie? When you're doing some baking at home, you know, rather than just making a standard cake that uses caster sugar, you know, and flour, can you swap those ingredients out and use dates for the sweetness? You know, use almond meal to get bump up again the nutritional quality and get more fiber than just using that straight flour. So there are some easy ways, you know, in home cooking that we can swap things out for, but just making some healthier choices around desserts and what we eat for dessert, you know, rather than just leaning straight into the ice creams and the biscuits and things that, you know, the more sugar we have, the more that we crave sugar. So often if you have a break, just a day or two from eating sugar, you kind of lose that sugar craving. It's much easier to go without sugar. But if you're constantly having sugar, then you're constantly wanting to get another hit of sugar. So breaking that cycle going for, you know, the sweet berries with some yogurt, it's still going to be sweet. It still has sugar in it, but it's a much lower amount of sugar. And it's also combined with vitamins and minerals and fiber. So it's digested differently than if we were just having a straight sort of sugary treat. And remember, you know, when it comes to sugar, having it in moderation is fine, you know, as part of a healthy diet. But, you know, being able to just make it part of that, you know, 80-20 rule and just having it a little bit of the time rather than all the time can help so much with our overall health. As I was saying at the start of the podcast, if we can cut back on sugar, you know, it can reduce our risk of being overweight and having obesity. It can reduce our risk of heart disease, of diabetes, you know, of neurological conditions like Alzheimer's and dementia. So cutting back on sugar, it's not just, you know, the physical aspects, but mentally as well. It can help reduce brain fog. Okay, we can concentrate more, we can have a more stable mood. So there are so many benefits from reducing that sugar intake and just having it on that sort of, you know, occasion as part of a treat, you know, or part of that 20% where we are just, you know, including it in just general moderation. And that's it for this week. I hope you enjoyed, you know, listening to some of these suggestions. Sometimes you think, you know, I don't eat a lot of sugar. You know, so many people that come to me for nutrition plans and sort of say, oh, I don't eat a lot of sugar, you know. But when we start going through the diet, we find that there's a lot of hidden sugars in there. And it's nobody's fault, you know, definitely not at all. So many of these companies are very smart with hiding sugar in their products, okay, that you don't even realize it's in there. It's only that when we start taking it away that we realize, oh, we actually don't need it and we can find an alternative. Sometimes we just need to know where to look. So I hope you enjoyed this week's episode, this deep dive into cutting back on sugar, because as we know, the more sugar that we can sort of cut out, then the healthier, you know, even our gut microbiome is going to be as well. And our gut health really is tied to everything else. It's tied to our hormones, okay, and our neurotransmitters, you know, our mood, our focus, our energy. So cutting back on sugar can just be really beneficial for your overall health. All right. Well, thanks for tuning in to this week's podcast. As always, if you're listening in, tag me on socials at Mind Movement Health. Otherwise, have a fantastic week and I'll see you again on the podcast next week. Thanks for listening in to the podcast. Please hit subscribe to be updated for each time we release a new podcast.